The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony and I are back after being off the last 2 days because of college hoops.
Tony Kornheiser, we were off? Who was I here talking to? What?
Well, you're in an attic. I mean, you just probably keep talking until the sun goes down and you go to bed.
I went up to the attic. The lights were on. The camera was on. I looked into it and I started talking, and I just sort of assumed that you were on the other end from Arizona and you were talking back to me, but I didn't have a great connection.
I was at the golf course, green light, Tony.
That's nuts. I gotta check myself at some point. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. We will get to the Westbrook Wall trade in just a moment, but we begin today with the Pittsburgh Steelers beating the depleted Baltimore Ravens by just 5 points yesterday. This earned the Steelers the wrath of their coach, Mike Tomlin, who called it, quote, a junior varsity effort. Tomlin said that the Steelers repeatedly dropping passes and repeatedly being stopped in the red zone could be attributed to, quote, us sucking. Wilbon, is Tomlin right to be so tough on his 11-0 team?
Tomlin's right to say anything he wants. He's Mike Tomlin. I mean, after Bill Belichick, you can go Andy Reid, you know, Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. You put him in a group. Those are the great coaches in the NFL. I'm sure I left out somebody, but you know, Sean Payton. But okay, Mike Tomlin's earned the right. And his team looked bad. He's trying to light a fire under him. They had to be bored. They're playing a Ravens team they knew they could just beat up, even if they weren't going to have a lopsided score. And yes, it's Mike Tomlin's job. This is why he's a great coach. He's not going to let this opportunity pass to take a shot. He praises him publicly. He can take a shot publicly.
This is motivation 101 for head coaches who are veterans. They find, when their team is going well, they find a game that isn't so great and they hammer the team in the hopes that the team gets better the next time because they're looking at 16-0 if they can. Look, my position is they won the game. They got a W. They beat a blood rival, depleted or not, a blood rival. They ran the clock out at the end and they killed the clock. They did everything right. And Mike Tomlin is the guy who says, and let's get this quote right, we don't get paid to play football. We get paid to win games. They won the game.
It's a great
line. They won the game.
Yeah. But to win the next game, Tony, come on. You and I have known 50 years worth of coaches each.
That's right.
We've known coaches, and we know what they do privately because we're in their office and we're not supposed to write about it publicly or talk about it publicly. We know what they're doing. They're setting up the next opponent and the next opponent, even while saying, take it one day at a time, that they get paid to win. And Mike Tomlin has won a lot of games. He knows exactly what he's doing. This isn't the guy around the corner in the desert out here who seems to be a little lost and trying to figure out, oh, yeah, Tom Brady, I remember him. This is not that. Mike Tomlin is on top of this. I think this is the absolute right course to take.
I don't know what guy in the desert you're talking about. If you're talking about Arians, they're not in the desert
used
anymore.
To be.
Arians went
used
to Tampa
to be. He's
Bay.
Lost. He's in Tampa, but he's still in the desert. His mind is out here.
Look, there was one very dicey moment last night. Ben Roethlisberger, about on his own 20, very late in the game, threw a pass among three Ravens defenders.
Yeah.
Now, James Washington got it, but that could have been a pick six that lost the game. The Steelers are very good. They're not a juggernaut. There's a great statistic here. There have been 18 teams that have started 11-0. And 14 of those teams have a greater point differential than the Steelers. The Steelers have been very good, but most people still say, can they beat Kansas City? Can they beat Kansas City?
Hall of Famer, our friend, the great John Riggins, would hear something like that and call it, as you know, mumbo jumbo. That's all that is, Tony. The Steelers are undefeated, okay? And I'd love for them to get a shot at Kansas City just to see that game in the AFC Championship. Who wouldn't want to see that?
Yep, want to see it.
Let's move to the blockbuster trade, which you mentioned already in the NBA. The Rockets sent Russell Westbrook to the Washington Wizards for John Wall and a protected first-round pick. Last season, Westbrook averaged 27-8-7 alongside James Harden while Wall hasn't played in 2 years. Tone, let's put aside how thrilled you are about the trade. What does it tell you about both teams?
Well, I don't know what Houston is doing. I mean, I don't really understand this. If I am the Wizards, I run to the trade table, and when we sign the deal, I blow on the ink. I want to make sure it's dry. I want to make sure I have this deal done. Because Russell Westbrook is a considerably better player than John Wall and far more durable. He's going to inherit Bradley Beal, who's a very good shooter and not the selfish player that James Harden is. Now, maybe Houston feels that by getting John Wall, that is good for James Harden, because John Wall will pass the ball. He does pass the ball, sometimes backwards because he's in front of everybody because he dribbles so fast, and sometimes late in the clock. But to me, Washington gets the better of this. To you?
I agree with you. And I know you've been looking forward to this. You've been talking about this for a week since the rumor started. And Tony, let me say this. Russell Westbrook, for whatever he might have lost at 32 years old in terms of motor, all right, Westbrook keeps getting better to me as a player in a lot of respects because, one, he knows he doesn't shoot the three well anymore, so he's almost stopped shooting it. He's down to 25%, but his number of threes attempted way down, right? He can still pass the ball. He can still break down your defense. And here's what he can do. He, with that blast furnace energy, can show young players, and the Wizards have a lot of them, aside from Beal, a lot of young players, how you need to play, how you need to be a professional, how you need to treat this. No one's ever accused Russell Westbrook of taking a moment off. And so that will help them. I don't know what Houston's doing either. I mean, I tell you what, Tony, to me, this means they have to trade James Harden. And that trade proposal with Brooklyn, or some form of the one we hear most often with Brooklyn, it sounds reasonable. It gives Houston a chance with John Wall. But right now, I don't see Houston being much of anything, Tony. And I think the Wizards can be a borderline eight team.
Yeah. Everyone says John Wall is healthy and ready to go, and I wish that to him. You know that I have never thought that he was a great player. He's a great player, but I always thought in Washington he cared too much about having a sneaker deal, and he cared too much what other people thought about him, and he wanted to be in primetime games. And when he got in a game 7 against Boston, he missed his last 11 shots. So I think that Russell Westbrook, I don't know how good Washington is, but what they do have is they got two guys who can shoot. They got Beal and Bertans. And so if Westbrook wants
and
to
Russell
deliver
Westbrook
the ball...
And Russell Westbrook playing off of them. But let me just say this about John Wall now. Hold on. John Wall's a terrific, he's a great talent. He's been a terrific player, a multiple-time All-Star. I know it didn't work. But, Tony, you mentioned that game
didn't
7.
Work.
He got him there by hitting a 3 and doing something he wasn't renowned for,
Mike,
in game 6.
He was great in game six. He was great in game 6.
Yeah.
But when there is a game 7, you got to be great in game 7. LeBron James, great in game 7. That's how it works.
If the Wizards had just one last thing, one last note.
All right, go ahead.
If the Wizards had kept Paul Pierce on that roster instead of letting him go, and you let him ride herd on Beal and Wall, the history of the Washington franchise, the basketball, not the football, might be very different.
If they had kept Paul Pierce, he'd now be 46 years old. And
I'm talking about 5 years
ago. We turn now to one of your favorites, the Up in Smoke podcast, a staple of this show. Paul George, another guy I love, appeared and told Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes essentially that it was Doc Rivers' fault that the Clippers blew a 3-1 lead and lost to Denver in the playoffs. The self-named playoff piece said, and I quote, "We never worked on adjustments. We weren't prepared enough going in. We just literally had the same stuff happen over and over again," unquote. Wilbon, your head must be exploding because you love Paul George, but you love Doc even more. What is your reaction to what George said?
Yeah, Tony, I don't want to go after Paul George. I know Paul George had a rough spring. And he talked about it. I know you will. He talked about the difficulty of just playing and living in that bubble and something that, you know, sounded a lot like some form of depression. I don't want to go after Paul George in that way, but let me just – I'm now going to do that. Paul George has played for a lot of coaches. I mean, you know, he played for Frank Vogel. He played for Nate McMillan. You know, he played for a little bit for Jim O'Brien. He played for Doc Rivers. And all Paul George does is come up short in the postseason. That's all he does. And I was willing to give him benefit of the doubt going in there and playing with a guy who's been an MVP and won 2 rings and an MVP of a championship series. I was willing to give him that benefit of the doubt. But he goes after Doc like this, Tone. It's like, dude, What about your adjustments? What about your personal adjustments? Because you have come up so small in the playoffs. I thought about you. I said, I got to be careful here because Tony's going to love this more than the John Wall trade. So I'll let you have at it.
Yeah. No, my first reaction was, this guy? This guy is talking about Doc Rivers? A guy who I believe is 0 for 15 on game tying or game winning shots in the last 20 seconds of games.
I thought he had one.
A guy in game seven, I talked about John Wall in a game seven. In the game seven against the Clippers, 38 minutes, 4 for 16, 5 turnovers, getting paid $40 million. He's going to crush that. Look, Doc is the only guy, the only coach ever to lose three different times at 3-1. Nobody else ever lost twice. So Doc comes in for his share of the blame. But part of Doc's problem is he's got to depend on Paul George. Because Paul George doesn't deliver.
Yeah.
He doesn't deliver in this particular case.
Well, that's what other coaches. He didn't deliver in Indiana. I forgot Billy Donovan. He had Billy Donovan in the list of coaches. Some pretty damn good coaches in that list. And that, I would just say to Paul George, if he was sitting right in front of me, bruh. What about your adjustments? Where are your adjustments as a player seen by the fraternity as a great player? What are you adjusting to? Because year after year, it's the same stuff, and it's inadequate.
Yeah. In the final game, in that game seven, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi Leonard's got two championships, they combined for, like, basically nothing, okay? 24 points.
It was bad.
Jamal Murray had 40 by himself, okay? Let's take a break. Coming up, both LeBron and Anthony Davis have new deals. So how does the future look for the Lakers?
And Mike Tyson's successful fight against Roy Jones Jr. has a bunch of old boxers lining up to be next. What's the word for them?
I mean, I don't know how you snipe at Doc. I mean, don't you have to look inward? Don't you have to look inward?
Apparently not. He just went like this. Let me point a finger at somebody else.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Guinness, part of Happy Hour.
Time to have some words with Wilbon. Word up. What's first?
LeBron must be feeling blank about the Lakers.
Bullish. He signed for a few more years. Anthony Davis signed for a few more years. They got Montrezl Harrell. They got Dennis Schroeder. They got Marc Gasol. All good additions. They got rid of Dwight Howard. Addition by subtraction. They've watched other teams get worse. And even the teams that are up and coming, like Phoenix and certainly Dallas, they're at least a year away. I'll bet LeBron is thinking, you know what? I got four now. I can win a couple more. He's feeling bullish.
Yes, Tony. In that same way, I'm going to say he's feeling splendiferous I mean, when he looks around, his team got better, at least on paper. We have to go into the season, which starts in, you know, 3 weeks, thinking, wow, the Lakers are absolutely a reasonable favorite here to repeat.
Yep.
All right. And Golden State, which I still think is going to be a playoff team at a level higher than most people do. I think they're possibly a 4 or 5 seed, even without Klay Thompson.
But without Klay Thompson.
You just can't see him being a championship threat to the Lakers right now. And so, yeah, Tony, splendiferous. If you're LeBron, you're thinking about legacy. You're thinking about if you can stay healthy, LeBron can pile him up. He really can.
Next.
Evander Holyfield, Buster Douglas, and Kevin McBride are blank for wanting rematches with Mike Tyson.
Clinically insane. Do they not see who Mike Tyson is? Mike Tyson at 54 is still a fighter. He looks like he could kill someone. Buster Douglas, are you kidding me? He can't get in shape. He's 60 years old. He can't fight Tyson. Kevin McBride, I don't even know who that is. Evander Holyfield at 58, maybe he could get in shape, but he's not that guy anymore. He's not a boxer anymore. Mike Tyson is still that guy. He'll always be that guy. They're crazy.
Crazy. That leads me into, my word, delusional. Because that's what these guys are. I'm sorry, were they watching this? Tony, look, if we're talking about Mike Tyson going out and fighting somebody in his prime at, you know, 30 years old, another Tyson, that's one thing. But Mike Tyson fighting these guys, you see how fast Mike Tyson's hands were against Roy Jones Jr. and the power behind those punches. Roy Jones Jr., his entire goal, his objective, was not to get hit even one time by Tyson. Those heavyweights aren't going to fight that way. They're delusional.
Mike, somebody's going out like Nate Robinson, and it ain't going to be Tyson.
It's
not going to be Tyson.
No, it's not.
It just isn't. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, a tough day for Wilbon as his Cubs say see you to his neighbor, Schwarbs.
Hate to see Schwarbs somewhere else, Tony. And is it significant that Texas beat North Carolina at the buzzer? Tyson Fury, you don't want to see Mike Tyson at this age, at 54, against Tyson Fury. You don't want to see that.
But these other dudes
better stay out of the ring with Mike Tyson.
They're going out. They're going out. You should have played soft toss with Schwarbs. You could have kept him on the roster. You should
have seen him. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Guinness. Game time is Guinness time. Please drink responsibly. Part of happy hour. And in part by NBA 2K21. Everything is game.
Happy time, people. Happy 37th birthday yesterday, Aaron Rodgers. 37. Sneaky old. Okay, we all accept that Tom Brady has set records that are unlikely to be broken, like 9 Super Bowl appearances and 6 Super Bowl wins. And we all accept that if anyone could do that, that person would be Patrick Mahomes, who is young enough to have that kind of run. But I trust that we all also accept that the one quarterback playing today who has the guile and the gun and the history to be in the same sentence with Brady and Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers. Considering the team he works with, Rodgers may be the one quarterback of the three you would take today to play one game for your life. Nobody would seriously maintain that the Packers have the offensive talent of the Chiefs or the Bucks. This year, Rodgers has 33 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. This year may be Rodgers' third MVP season, and he's doing it playing for a coach and a general manager who openly disrespected him by picking a quarterback in the first round.
Tony, I've hated all Packers all my life except really 2. Nitschke, who I was just physically afraid of, but a Southsider like I am, the great Ray Nitschke. and Aaron Rodgers, who, despite being a Packer, is one of my, I don't know, three or four favorite quarterbacks of all time. He plays with such substance and such style. And if you get to know him away from the football field at all, and I've been fortunate to do that, he's just a terrific dude. And I love him, and I feel guilty that I like him, but happy birthday, Aaron.
And in order to give Aaron Rodgers just a little more run, happy anniversary, Richard Rodgers Jr. On this day 5 years ago, while playing for Green Bay, Richard Rodgers came down with a 61-yard Hail Mary from Aaron Rodgers to give the Packers a 27-23 win over Detroit. This play was labeled the Miracle in Motown by happy Packers fans. Richard Rodgers Jr. made another spectacular Hail Mary grab this past Monday night. Now playing for Philadelphia, Rodgers made a one-handed catch of a batted ball to give the Eagles a desperation touchdown, though they still lost to Seattle 23-17. To go deeper into the Richard Rodgers rabbit hole, Richard Rodgers' father, Richard Rodgers Sr., he was on the field for the California Golden Bears in the famous The Band is on the Field play against Stanford 38 years ago. Rodgers Sr. made two of the five laterals that resulted in Cal beating Stanford at the buzzer.
Tony, you can't take your eyes off that. I'm just going to ask you a personal preference here. Your favorite game-ending college football play of all time, one of which you were on the field for, Doug Flutie.
Yeah, that's it.
Or that's Stanford it. Cal. Are you sure?
No, I was standing in the end zone when Phelan caught the ball. Yeah, no.
You watch this and you can't take your eyes off this play, though.
No, I know. I know. A melancholy trails to Rafer Johnson. The Olympic decathlon champion died yesterday at age 86. History lesson, kids. Back in the day, way back in the day, 50, 60, 70 years ago, there was no doubt who the greatest athlete in the world was. It wasn't a baseball player like Willie Mays or a football player like Jim Brown or a basketball player like Wilt Chamberlain. The greatest athlete in the world was the Olympic decathlon champion. 10 grueling events over 2 days, testing your ability to run and jump and be physically and mentally strong. And in the final stages of the 1500 meters, the last event, in the darkness, you saw the pain on their faces and the cramps in their bodies. Rafer Johnson was the Olympic decathlon champion in Rome in 1960. He dueled with another great decathlete, C.K. Yang of Taiwan. Bob Mathias was an Olympic decathlon champion who got his picture on a Wheaties box. Caitlyn Jenner, then Bruce Jenner, was an Olympic decathlon champion. Now you can't name the champion. Rafer Johnson was an American hero.
Tony, we were fortunate enough to be involved in the Sports Century Project, in which we tried to list, in our opinions, with some perspective, the greatest athletes of the 20th century. Rafer should be higher than wherever he finished. When you look back on this, as you just did, top 10, and maybe Carl Lewis and Bo Jackson and Jackie Robinson, who played like 8 or 9 sports, those people belonged higher, and people don't even know them now, and that's a shame. Rafer Johnson, an icon.
One omission or one mistake, it's on me. I got to own up to it. I call the Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes podcast Up in Smoke when it's actually all the smoke. Let's go to the book.
Get it right.
Quickly. Clippers waived Joakim Noah. His agent says he's likely to retire. Your thoughts?
He was on some of my favorite Bulls teams ever. It's a shame Derrick Rose got hurt. We don't know how high it with a healthy Rose they could have climbed. Number 13, BYU scheduled. Number 18, Coastal Carolina this Saturday. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, beat a good team, move up. The Cubs didn't tender an offer to Kyle Schwarber, making a free agent. Okay by you?
Kyle Schwarber helped win a World Series for the Cubs. That's the only sentence that matters. It is okay. I love it. Texas beat North Carolina on a buzzer beater. Is that significant?
No, Shaka Smart's hair is significant. Last one, college hoops tonight. Washburn at number 7, Kansas. Are you smelling upset for the Ichabods?
No, this is the Gary Woodland Bowl, though, Tony. Ask me about it later, I'll tell you. Gary Woodland, the golfer, also a hoopster point guard, a good one.
Out of time. Trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.